We are calling the meeting to order at 5:42. Okay, can you take the roll?
Sure. Anne, are you here?
Here.
Donald.
Here.
This is Greg. I'm here. Kara.
Here.
And Sarah.
Here.
We have five of us here. Daniel, you're here?
Here.
Thanks for being here. And Krishna is absent.
Anything that is on the agenda that we need to switch around or change? The one thing, this was just as an item in the executive committee, I was trying to have a updated board job description that I have not completed yet. So that will be
tabled for everybody. Anything else? Okay. Right. Agents. Thank you to family. Coming this week for observation. And it's always nice to finally be able to show more practice and the opportunity to take time off your day. Maybe they won't come in to see what's going on.
Appreciate teachers being open for that and welcoming a lot of families talking about excited to do it and how great it was to see classrooms. So appreciate it for giving that space.
I would appreciate the after school program staff and they've been doing a great job with the kids. I had actually taken my kids out of after school care. They just don't leave. And so I think we'll end up in the back just because they miss it that much. So, I would appreciate the after school care program staff.
I have an appreciation for the board here. We're small but mighty, but we haven't had any attendance issues and we've transitioned back to all these in-person meetings and sharing food. So thank you for tonight for dinner, Sarah. So it's nice to be rolling with y'all.
Anybody want to bring anything up that does not pertain to an agenda item? This is your moment.
Yeah, so I recently heard about incidents. I believe it was during their morning drop off, or maybe after the pickup. I don't remember. If there was a parent with a child, and there was either a volunteer or a staff member in the school was outside, became a parent, like in their car, almost ran over the staff member. The reason why I bring up this incident, not necessarily to talk about that or the parent, but we talk about our pickup and drop off process and how we can improve that in order to prevent incidents like this from happening in the future. We don't have to talk about it today, of course, but this is an item that I would like to add to the agenda for the next meeting.
Is there anybody?
There's no one on Zoom.
Okay. Go into the school reports. Yep.
Yeah.
So I have the UMC Atlantic acknowledgement and our anti defensive legislation commitment in here also, just to have that as things that we have at the beginning of our slide deck every month. Also our community agreement, I think we're doing some work around that later. Here's what we use in our staff phases. In terms of things that have been happening right now, our physical fitness testing is happening for fifth and seventh graders. Fourth and sixth graders and eighth graders are offered to do it if they're in the same class. So we are putting a practice run at that. Now, we know the family observations are this week, and next week we have family teacher conferences. So minimum day every week next week. And then we start testing. We started testing for third through eighth graders starting March 6th, so after next week. On the 17th, we had an in-service day for teachers, and we focused on community building. We had a long amount of time where we met in Affinity, and in the afternoon, we support teachers did a lot of material making for the elementary class and a lot of further work, the verb material making that happened, and as well as preparation for positive recordings and curricula and the language from the level and kind of planning the rest of the year. And the enrollment updates, we're still enrolling for this year. In-person enrollment, sort of been well attended. Thank you, Kara, for coming, and Eric, my appreciation for coming to the enrollment tour. And the response is really positive, especially after seeing the classes. Really getting to see our model in action, you see, wait, I don't understand how it can be possible that this works, right? Like, how are students this independent and just navigating the room on their own? Here's creative on enrollment tours. That's it's
been like inspiration materials.
Awesome. thank you for that clarity.
From someone who worked in education.
And our lottery runs on March 8th. In terms of current application numbers, we have a total of 343. That's as of February 21st, which is a lot more than. And so we're excited about the increase in the number of applications we're seeing.
How has I know there was like work being done around marketing materials and we've been talking to the 880 corridor and
yes,
has that work
enable?
Do you think that, I'm wondering if that's contributing to this or if we have something
about where
that hasn't
happened. Yeah, okay. So we've got our first round, which ended up coming at a very hilariously small size.
Okay.
And so we got the reorder, but a good stack of business card side of plotting.
Are there any yard sign made or anything like that? And the reason why I asked that is because there are people in the community that would allow us to put yard signs in their yard.
Prouder, parent, or
Or even just for somebody's running for mayor,
right.
Now, hey, we're having an open house, or we have open enrollment this month, and we just like to make the neighborhood aware. Can we place a sign in your yard for the period? Some people would be okay with that. And then also, it'd get the word out, and people would see it, people in the community would be aware that we're here, and that we can do that all throughout the world if we want to. So you might want to think about that.
No, absolutely. And even thinking about the need for marketing, even in our enrollment tours, we have families that came to the enrollment tours and were like, I didn't know you all existed and just found out yesterday by luck. And I'm so happy that I found that it existed, right? So, absolutely.
Okay,
not just in the minutes. For your to-dos.
Always. Oh, so Chris has done one-on-one check-ins with almost all staff members. Part of those check-ins is like a 15-minute check-in. It's also the early, like, hey, like, what are your plans next? So far, there's one staff member that's not returning, four maybes, one of which is a lead teacher. But all the maybes, as their kind of like primary concerns, were possibly living in India. But other than that, everyone else plans on returning next year as a.
So the one staff member that is not returning is not a lead teacher?
Correct.
Okay. You said the one lead teacher refers to one of the four maybes? Okay.
But that also. Not a lead. We talked about this, right? We talked about this last time. Around expanding that and being, we do have applicants for both of those positions and have started the interview process for both, for the director of student services and the Montefiore coach will start the interview process after conferences so that people can report the panel also.
And we don't have the goals for that, are they? Primary sport for staff and students during school day, which is something staff also mentioned in the board meetings that they were getting things. And, to support our growth, being able to spend more time on things like that.
Is that the director of student services one? Is that, I don't remember that.
Then that's right. Is that
the one that they're going to take on
sped stuff? Yeah. Is that true? Okay, cool. Awesome. Who do you? Another resources, need those goals. You can find our draft LCAP at that link in the slides. And we'll talk more about.
I have a question about have you, Hal, had any opportunity yet to kind of layer the application by grade data with the intent to return data? And seeing like so far how that's looking grade by grade?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have a lot to show on that if I go back. And so there's not a whole lot of spots in any of the grade, like TK's one where we have 45 spots.
Right. Right. And there's no intents to return.
Exactly. And so, like, and in general, our intent, the percentage of intent to return is very high.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a couple of grades in here where we anticipate there won't be very many spots. But we definitely don't have a lot more to share on this.
Okay.
But we are looking at that.
So, I mean, in the modeling shows.
Like when we look at this, that's like where we see.
Would we accept 15 students in seventh grade or 15 students leave?
Or even without 15 students leaving?
If 15 students don't leave, then there would not be that 15 spots.
In seventh grade?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Unless, okay.
Is the sixth grade on this?
We're not going to have 45 seventh graders next year.
Okay.
That's the goal is down the road 45 seventh graders, but it won't be 45.
Okay.
How many sixth graders are there?
I can get an unofficial number real quick. Unofficially 27. You may have more than that. Yeah.
We have we're having training on Saturday, so our big trainings will be coming in.
Okay.
Have some more if we get new lesson. Energizing. First, they're like, I don't want to come on weekends. And then after, they're like, that's been good. So it's been that good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We, you know, we're up next for the calendar. Do you want me to take it?
Sure.
Okay, well.
I start.
Okay, well, we need to approve the calendar for next year. And so, got a chance to look at it.
So Christian and I looked at it and looked at different configurations of like what would work and when are we going to be and how many days we have. And this is kind of where we landed. So with the last day being the 31st of May, I think OUSD ends
the 24th. I think, yeah, likely. They usually start the week earlier. So every year we have this conversation and it's like, well, do we align to OUSD exactly or not? And it usually comes down to aligning to OUSD and seeking 10 professional development days or 2 work weeks before the start of school and not having those work days be in July.
Yes.
That those 3 things don't work out.
Yeah.
So it's like, so coming back August 1st, I mean, even this year, July 31st is a Monday. So I don't know if you're going to have 9 PD days, you know, in the summer or choose to go ahead and have the 10. Got it. It's proposed to be only 9.
Right. So we looked at things like, running through the 5th of June and then have the 6th and 7th as the last 2 teacher.
And adding 3 other staff days.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we usually have that. We often have that day after the winter break as a PD day, like 3 fresher classrooms.
And that would just be a closed day.
Yeah. So like between the balance of the contracted days for staff, the number of days for students, this is kind of what we probably have going for.
Well, the other thing in terms of process is that we have a few options because it's only February. So we can approve, it's when we're ready, if we're ready, we could not take any action. We could approve just like first and last days. We could approve the whole calendar. We could approve the whole calendar and then Christian and Daniel could bring back updates and we could approve it again, you know, so just wanted to keep, so everyone knows we have options. We're not in a rush.
First and last, like that is the point of question. So if we're going to do that, we should just do the whole
thing. Yeah. Well, and then if you discuss with staff and staff are like, well, what if we could make Jan 2nd a minimum day? You know, maybe coming back from the break as a minimum day would work. I had asked, you can see in the comments there, I asked if the first day could be a full day or a full day for, you know, maybe primary goes home early, but everyone else stays.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think in general, it's kind of like to have the whole day to orient. And like, it's hard to do that in half a day.
Yeah, it's like once you're already there and you got them and stuff. Yeah.
So with the primary where you get a bunch of students that have never been to school before.
Yeah. Yeah. I did double count it. It does seem to me to add up correctly for what that's worth.
Can I ask, is are we lining up Christmas break with OUSD?
That was my
I'm pretty sure we are. If we're, I don't know how else.
I think that this year too,
we're in a.
Alameda was. This time it'll be the 25th is on Monday.
Yeah.
So kids will be out an entire week. I worry about depending on the
Yeah.
On the second? Well, if we have it wrong. We can definitely.
You mean have it wrong with OUSD?
Yeah.
But there
was
something
we wanted
that
to was like
similar to this year. Yeah. And I think we aligned with OUSD.
Were we trying to align with OUSD on this?
We have families who have kids at those schools. Yes. It's easier to have the same.
Or they work in OUSD.
I would argue definitely I support us like aligning with OUSD. I'm just surprised.
It's weird. I had a hard time.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise, you get out of school on the 20th. The last you go to school on the 22nd, right? You only have 2 days, and so I don't know. Yeah, I'm not finding a calendar yet for OUSD. So we have a OUSD does have a first day of school of August 7th. So that lines up with our expectations. So I am assuming that this is what they would do, but we do not have to exactly align. We could have, you know, we could add, I mean, we can have the kids come back on the Wednesday and you can add a day, a weekend, and you come back. Yeah. I'm trying to think. You could take away the September or October days off. I know the October one is Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah.
But the September one, no, the in-service day or the February in-service day.
I think we already have so few in-service days.
Yeah, you've put them all at the front of the of August. And I assume the September one too is too, because you kind of catch your breath.
Yeah. I mean, I've
come back for the whole week.
I'd love to wait and see what I guess.
What if you put an in-service day on, I mean, if you're asking teachers to come and work with Jay or something, by watching to make the in-service day and the kids want to come back. So then you'd have
in that place where.
No. And basically move one of the in-service days to January 2nd.
So the reason we have the February 16th in-service day is it's back to President's Day, which is usually one of the big models of the conference.
Oh, okay.
So then if they decide to go to that, they can use that day as one of their travel days. And it's a long stretch.
Yeah, I was just, that's what I thought. I'm like, February just sucked. So.
It is. There's 13 in service days, which I think OUSD has six.
The September 15th in service day, is that right after Labor Day?
No,
that's like a week or 2 weeks after.
Monday is Monday, and then it's.
Is that a holiday?
Yes.
That's Indigenous.
The October day is a holiday.
What about September 15th?
That's an in-service day.
Well, if you move that one to January 2nd.
Well, so that one's like a, we've done a month of school. Usually it's like preparing for based on MBA testing. So that's like a good one for where are we at after a month?
Yeah.
You could, it's, I think it's a little harder on families than a planning for a whole day off. But if there was a, if you needed to add minimum days, if you needed, if converting regular days to minimum days, probably you have enough minutes. And like to do what you might have done on in-service as a whole day off in two, in multiple afternoons instead. It's not the same thing, but
take out 15, then do like 14 minimum day. I think that's hard.
Yeah, it's not as family friendly in general, I think.
Or staff them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different, right.
Yeah.
Right, so if you turn the 15 into a minimum day, or the 15th and the 22nd into minimum days or something like that.
I would propose, though, that we maybe table this if we're specifically trying to figure out the second, because I do think prioritizing aligning with the OUSD calendar, and I think that if they don't have theirs out yet, I feel like it's a toss up if it's going to be that week or not.
Right. It could be. You, so we're saying they might.
Yeah.
So we could vote to approve the start.
That Daniel, what do you have a thought on that?
We could, sure, I think that's fine. And even if we do the whole thing, we can also change it.
Yeah. Nothing has to be decided today. We can even put on our school Google calendar like tentative first day, tentative last day. But it's around this time of the year families start to ask. So
yeah, it's helpful to do that as families.
I may have actually already put that on the calendar, like like tentative first day or likely first day. I can check real quick. I did. I said unofficial first day. That's
great.
I don't have a strong feeling about it. I think we can bring it back. I guess what I would say is I want to be clear. It sounds like admin's recommendation to the board is that we go ahead and approve it.
Yeah.
And then if there needs to be any changes, you would bring a new recommendation later on.
Yes.
Okay. So since that is the case, I don't know if it'll pass or not, but I'll go ahead and recommend. I'll go ahead and motion that we approve the calendar as we see here, the full thing. Oh, it got a second. All right. This is exciting. Let's see what happens. I mean, we have a lot of unanimous votes. I agree, but we don't have to. We are allowed to disagree, people. It is allowed. All right. Any other discussion before we vote? Okay. Here we go. What's going to happen? I mean, you can vote no, even though you, yeah, you're allowed to vote no. Ann? Donald?
Yes.
This is Greg. I vote yes. Kara?
Yes.
And Sarah? Oh, all right. We're unanimous. Okay. You got a calendar.
My one thing is major.
Like particularly on the big breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause we don't align on first and last.
Yeah.
All right. Should I go on to finance committee?
Yeah. Finance.
So the finance committee did not meet, but we have still all the materials from Josh and EdTech. So we can go over that. For the monthly financials, that's what we'll start with. The operating income is now about $50,000. It's just been further adjusted related to enrollment and ADA, like attendance and times enrollment, to make sure we're conservatively within what we're seeing at schools. So definitely a lower forecast, but still healthy. That was the main driver, was just adjusting the state revenue. And then that shows that we still have forecasted to have an ending fund balance of about $1.5 million, which represents about over 28% of our expenses. It remains to be seen if we'll hit all the expenses that are forecasted. Like if you look in the details, we're over halfway through the year. And many of our expense rows were below 50% of spending, which, you know, some things always hit every year later in, you know, in a later quarter, but everything's tracking fine as for now. It's also possible that, you know, fundraising and grants could come in higher or lower. So things will keep changing. And then cash remains fine through the end of the year. So that was basically it on the monthly. It's nothing. It wasn't anything too unprecedented. Attendance, Josh thought it in January was actually a little bit better than it had been before the break. So that was good to see. And we're tracking right around where OUSD is on attendance for elementary schools as well. And so then it's the time of the year where we have to prepare like our, what they call our second interim financials. Sorry, I didn't talk in. And that includes a first look at a draft budget a couple years out. And so, EdTech will prepare all of this and send it off to the county, but it shows that we have a very modest operating income for the next 2 years in the initial drafts. So when you first like just plug in, okay, what's the admin footprint going to be looking like next year? How many teachers, how many students are we predicting? What's the governor's January budget proposal? Like, how does it all look without really doing any, like nitty gritty work around, like, do we want to, you know, make a particular investment or do we need to, you know, something not working and we want to cut it back? Like without any of those conversations, we're starting from a place where we can make it work. So that was it on the annual stuff. Let's see. A couple other things I'll just use this time to share about because it's coming up on the agenda. Oh, no, I can share that separately. But I just wanted to comment on the consent report. One of the items is a contract with Public Montessori in Action, and it's a contract for next school year. And it's almost identical to the contract we're currently working under. So it's basically a renewal. So just wanted to flag that it's a renewal. I think that's all I've got for finance, for this section of the Finance Committee report. But questions or concerns or wonderings?
Drop the ball on the fall auction. So I know that is something we have an amount scheduled for. So I'm starting to work on Rubicon in the spring, but I don't know if it'll be
We're at, according to the documents, year to date, they've coded 151,800 to fundraising out of 190. So we're, you know, 38,000 shy from as of the end of January of the goal for the end of June. And we have events coming up and yeah. And the other place to look on these documents is so there's the fundraising and the year to date, but then there's also under local, the other place to look is oftentimes under local revenue, under uncategorized revenue is only $93. But sometimes there's chunks of change that are in there in months before they get moved over or categorized into fundraising or other places. Yeah, so we're okay for a couple reasons. One, I would say we're okay, but it depends on, that's just one opinion. One, because there could be expenses that come in lower as well. And let's say all the expenses came in exactly as they're currently forecasted. Well, if that was the case, we'd have an operating income of about 50,000. So if we didn't hit the additional 38, the operating income would just go down, but we'd be okay. But then even if if the expenses came in or came in above and we didn't hit the money, I mean, then we're still sitting on an operating reserve. So there's like cash, you know, in the bank to, so it all still flows and works. Yeah. But still good to hit the goals.
Yes.
So I have not worked on, so the move-a-thons that I have done, or COVID move-a-thons, have been about 20,000. I never worked on one of the events when they were the full 12, which is what we're trying to recreate this year, something closer to near 2019. I don't know how much they made.
Yeah, we could look it up, but it will all be.
I'm just trying to like, yeah, and that's why I'm. Kind of, I mean, and that's why I was like, did we do a raffle associated? Right. And just little ways to make it so it's not just precious.
Other questions about the finance committee's work? All right, and there's no public comments, I can see. So then the next part of finance was the agility consulting and compensation review contract. This is a contract above $15,000. And we did not put it on the consent report because we wanted to make sure it had its own separate discussion because it did not go through finance committee because the committee didn't meet. So that's just so we're clear of the process. If the committee had had a chance to meet, it's all good. We would have discussed this there, and then I'm guessing we would have recommended that it go on consent, and it would have gone to consent. So this is a contract with Agility. It's split. It's over $15,000 in total, and it would be paid out of two different fiscal years, this year and next year. And Agility, I can't remember exactly the timeline. I think they would start their engagement with staff in August.
Yeah.
And it would be it's a comprehensive review and engagement with staff and admin, and to some extent, I think board as well, on our total compensation package. So salary, and benefits and all sorts of things, and helping people see the whole package, but also have conversations about, well, what do we want the total compensation package to include? And it really starts with like, what are the values of the staff, the values of the organization? And you end up with, you know, a lot of agreements about what should the numbers be and that kind of thing, but also how are we going to, you know, implement this? So you get training and support from like to the office staff who like actually run payroll and who know how to like bring in a new hire and like place them correctly and what should their salary be and things like that, and make the adjustments every year as needed. So
that's
the other thing. Yeah, to make sure we're competitive. Yeah.
Could it change the what they were looking at?
Generally speaking, educators should be given a number than they are being paid. And so, to the extent, I mean, if we can pay our educators more, I mean, we should be blowing our competition out of the water if we can. Like, it shouldn't be a competition. To the extent we can.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't care how other people are paying their teachers. Like, really, it's just. If we can pay them more, then we should. I mean, of course, without harming the school, of course, but we can, we should.
That's the tough thing, like doing that on the same dollars.
Mm-hmm. Right.
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 And like in a model where you have two people to pack them. So we already spend a very large percentage of our budget on staff already.
Right. Yeah.
So yes, that's absolutely right. and finding that pathway.
Yeah, I think part of the engagement helps staff members, teachers, front office folks, admin, board, all kind of work on this from a common set of facts about like, what are the salaries out there? What are the salaries here and benefits and all that sort of stuff. So I also think it part of the, you like leave not only with like a system where hopefully, yeah, if the value is we want to put as much dollars as we can in teachers, not only do you walk away with that, but everyone walks away with transparency that is what we're valuing.
It was really, we did one in EFC when I was there, and that I think when it did come up in the listening session that I did, that I think folks are confused about like their overall compensation and like what are their benefits, how, you know, what does that, what is their retirement package, you know, what looks like. So, Yeah, though, I mean, this is a sample size of 11 people, so, but yeah, the work that we here, really helpful, because there are some districts too, where it's like, it was helpful when we were able to show people, like, this is your full compensation package, including benefits, like, and yep, San Leandro, like, pays more money.
They don't cover
benefits, and so, you know, how to help people understand that, and not that means you shouldn't go in some manner, but it means you need to understand the equipment that those trade offs are and the power of people to understand. Really important. So, yeah, with that, I'm going to approve.
Okay. Anne, how do you vote? Donald, how do you vote?
Yes.
This is Greg. I vote yes. Kara? Yes. And Sarah, how do you vote?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes. The contract is approved. We're on to academic.
We met in February when Daniel presented on the upcoming SBACs, working on teachers prepping students for something that's not even part of their classroom experience. We went over attendance data. Our average right now is about 92%. Our pre-pandemic average is 94-95%, and there are lots of reasons why it is lower. There aren't huge discrepancies by race in terms of chronic absenteeism, and SCED rates are the same as general ed, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
We brainstormed around for community support for families with chronic absenteeism, figuring out if there's a peer outreach, that sort of thing, and things that we're brainstorming. We discussed our board retreat follow-up item. The main suggestion for academic oversight was a dashboard that conveyed what information would share, would indicate how the students were doing overall. Donald and I are going to research comparable charter schools to see if any of them have similar dashboards on their websites. I haven't given Donald a list yet because I've researched this one. But that's sort of like starting point of kind of mentioning this is like a project that we've been doing for other reasons that are out there in terms of what metrics other schools have published. We also discussed efforts to retain middle school families. Admin in the middle school featured us from school to information sections for defensive sixth grade families. One of the things that Daniel brought up is that a lot of the reasons families leave at middle school is because they want the extra stuff that the traditional schools have, like theater and sports and things like that. So I'm going to start working on creating a community resource for things that other families in the school already use for extracurriculars. I posted on Facebook about it. People became obsessed with lockers, and we're not going to use students' lockers. I mean, maybe we're going to use students' lockers. I don't know, but that kind of became like. So I'm working on developing this resource.
They should have
lockers.
Yeah, so that would be one. sorry. I started it.
That's right.
Yes.
One offering on that to the list is that OUSDdata.org. So I'm aware of that website. And it's not just one dashboard. It's a links to lots of different thematic dashboards, but it's open to the public. So OUSDdata.org. And then on the middle school families thing, I've definitely been thinking a lot about that. I'm about to have two middle schoolers in my home. I'm already living with one teenager and I will soon have to live with two. Oh my Lord. And I had a little bit of an epiphany just personally that the urban middle school needs to just be great at what it wants to be great at. It doesn't need to replicate everything else. And so it may always be an alternative kind of middle school. And that makes sense to me that it would be. I think it will continue to have like a lot of demand from families that want that, like an alternative, different, smaller, different experience.
Yeah. You know, like personally, my kids are really struggling. In the classroom every hour, like just that would not work for them at all. Mm-hmm. So for kids like my kid, a great fit, and I feel like a lot of urban families have that
vibe. Yeah.
And I think a lot of our students right now do appreciate the size and it's small,
yeah.
Right? And stuff like that, the intimacy that creates with students and staff. And like to be, even in terms of like what we want it to look like, to be able to get there, it would have to be a certain size so that we could have the right staff, right? Mm-hmm. Be able to do the different things that we want.
Mm-hmm. I think that they're looking at that in this period. And the same thing that was learned, we just sat around and talked. I mean, there's only like 15 of us. So we just had a conversation and we waited for our son to show up.
That's not what I heard.
That's not what you heard? Okay.
Because there was a son, and the son told me that, like, oh, like, I'm seeing that. And so, but then one of them came and got me. I'm like, that's great.
Okay.
But yeah, so,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, middle school, traditional middle school. Yeah, I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. I think Greg's point, though, and in my mind, always goes back to the marketing piece, like, what is the special sauce of urban middle school, and how can we get, like, continue to get loud about, you know, what that is, so there are enough kids who it really isn't much for, mm-hmm. and we can come and survive, but the school can build that model into what it can do.
Yeah.
Oh, are we good?
I ate one.
Really?
It was delicious. It was small, but it was a delicious egg. That was I think that egg cost me about $139. multiple donations over the fall to get that egg. Worth it.
It's supposed to be a business.
Only one's laying
so far. We need more ones
instead of
one egg a day is
it's
hard to turn into a business.
Option.
I mean, if you're charging $139 an egg.
Yeah.
All right, Greg.
I got mine. I did my egg.
Beautiful blue eggs.
Oh, they have to get out. They're not changed.
Okay.
We still have quorum, right?
We will still have quorum, yeah.
So fine.
Your FAC?
So we have upcoming events. Tomorrow is FAC Friday. We'll be morning coffee in the sunroom, not in the yard. And then at 6 p.m. we'll be at FAC meeting on Zoom. I'm not sure if Marcella is supposed to go with yet, but it'll be there. There will be a book and clothing swap on March 17th at pick up and drop off. On March 25th, we have two events which we're working out logistics on. Our tree planting day will be in the morning, the plant sale and bake sale will be in the afternoon. We will be sending out signups for those soon. On April 18th, there'll be a parents' night out at North Coast Yoga. Rachel and Marcella will hang out with kids while parents get to meet them at the yoga studio on Overground MacArthur and go out for the evening. And we're starting working on planning the new event for the we have attempted to, the FAC leadership has attempted to meet, but we have not been successful. So I sort of put together some brainstorming plans about how we want to approach the board retreat items. Which basically will then through what are meaningful ways to measure how families feel connected, involved, and have access to resources. Christian and I think Christian and a lot of people have been having ongoing discussions about what participation looks like, because it doesn't look like showing up at coffee or conversation. It's lots of different ways. We have survey data, but the survey data is limited because only certain people respond to it. One of the things that I would like to, I sort of started looking on parents for debate with at signups, but one of the things I'm interested in seeing as a data point for involvement is conference attendance and observation attendance. And those are both a little tough because they're in the middle of the day, but like I was just sort of looking at like how many people have signed up for different classes, and it's not 100%, but looking at like whether primary, like that's a data point into looking at keeping records of how many people come to FAC events, and just other ways of collecting data. Surveys, when FAC has done surveys, they have not been super effective, and you have to be really careful about the wording. We've tried listening sessions in the past, and those are problematic because they go into complaint sessions, which is not really productive. In the past, FAC has been involved in hosting trainings. We did a series of anti-racism trainings in 2021. And that would tie in with the board-wide ABAR goal as well. And then questioning whether we want to look at reestablishing affinity groups. We've had them in the past, but they were usually largely in response to a crisis that needed to be addressed. They aren't there like in advance to like support groups. So, and also figuring out who would spearhead the affinity groups, because I'm not spearhead that in a lot of them. I can spearhead the life of the affinity group, which we probably need. But so the FIC leadership has to be for sure to talk about some of these. Any questions?
FIC meetings are supposed to be here clearly.
Yes. And I do want to kind of talk about this last thing, and then I have a chance to talk about it, is that Marcella has this. She has the meetings the day after the board meeting, and I think that it seems like they've changed that. I don't know if she was going to put the Zoom link in, the way that I don't know. Yeah. But it's not that, so.
Thank you.
We had a parent who works for or with Chipotle, who's gonna like find the best material to do like those traffic safety thing. Like, we have a middle school student. I don't want my middle school student gonna get by the parent, but
here.
Anyway.
So, sit with me. My daughter,
you know, my daughter, Lindsay Moore, elementary school.
Long, or their pickup in the morning or the morning drop off. They have about
6 cones
set up right by the gate, the back gate, front gate. They have from the back gate, they have a librarian. So she was about 6 students, like 4 to 6 students. Elementary school students, they were probably maybe 5th grade to 11th grade. They all had a little whiteboard, like you would best. And you would pull, so basically you would pull through, in the car, one of the students would open the door, kids would get out, they would close the door, and you'd go on your merry way. And that was their line.
And that,
and if you want, and the cones were set up, I mean, I guess they were spread out probably about 3 car lanes. And so that if you decided you wanted to park, you couldn't park in that zone.
Right.
You have to park somewhere
else. So talk to Marcella, because Marcella like drafted a whole plan. The problem is we actually need people here in the morning. So, like the beginning of this evening, we have to volunteer for the 1st week or so. But it's hard to get them to come back because.
Are there any staff members that can do it? Who are here in the room?
I thought you wanted to talk about this at a future agenda item.
We could. I do. She brought it up. I did. Yeah, we can talk to her about it. FAC Marcella.
Mm-hmm. She has realized.
Greg, she got me started.
Yeah, I mean, Marcella last year would stand down in that corner in her bright yellow vest and her purple mohawk and have cars come at her. Like, she has feelings about it.
All right. We continue. Exec committee. So I was supposed to follow up with Rosie on who has turned in form 700, and I have not done that. So I will be doing the open comment.
They're due April
1st. Greg, there's information actually in the agenda, but Greg shared the information from the recent Brown Act training and include updated rules about teleconference meetings. Can you remind us?
Yeah. So I've done 2 of the recent trainings. So one was around the Brown Act and one was around conflict of interest. So I shared the slides on the agenda. So you guys want to look at that if you, on the conflict of interest one, that's the most recent one. We're soon going to have to go through part of being a board member will be 2 hours of ethics training, like going to a conflict of interest training, every other year. So basically an hour every year. So plan on doing ethics training or going to these things and attending these things. That's a new.
Is there a mandatory training?
There's a new law. There's a new law. And different providers will provide trainings that like meet the standards of the law. And so these lawyers, Young, Mini, and Core are our lawyers, and they are a big, large firm. And they were saying, like, for all we know, they lobbied to get the law passed, right? But they were like, we will be offering trainings such as this one in the future that meet the requirements of the law. Okay.
I was wondering, because I already attend trainings like that, so I was wondering if that would.
It very well may. Yeah, very well, Mike. And then on the Brown Act stuff, the headlines are, so it's not too relevant for us because we haven't been operating under the COVID emergency rules really for a long, long time. So, and those are done after February 28th. So after starting March 1st, there is no like state of emergency in California. That's what we expect from the governor. So there are the current rules, which we have been operating under for a long time, which are really now considered the old rules, but they're old and current, which is the whole put your address up and post it at that address. And if the public shows up there, they get to participate from there, 72 hours, all the things. So that we still have. And then the new law, so which started January 1st, which is what I was alluding to earlier and was... basically twice a year, 2 meetings a year on short notice, there's a way in which you can participate virtually without having your address on the agenda, like if something comes up. And basically the rule, it's a couple rules and they're in there, but it's like, you have to notify the board, you know, as soon as you can. And ideally, if it's enough time, we can put your address, right? But if you'll be traveling, you know, for some reason, you know, and you can't put your address, like you could, even if it's 72 hours, like it's okay. And in which case though, the board could put on the agenda that they're going to take action at the beginning to like allow you to participate, for, you know, virtually. If you can't do that, if it's really short notice, then the board is actually allowed to take an action early in the meeting, even though it's not on the agenda, to allow someone to basically declare there have been extenuating circumstances. And we, without disclose, you don't have to disclose what all those are. And then if you do that, you have to participate with your camera on. It has to be camera and audio. But you don't like have to be in an ADA compliant facility, and you don't have to let the public, I mean, how would they wouldn't know where you were anyway. Yeah. So that was the main kind of update on that. Yeah.
Great. And then, we also talked about the just draft committee metrics based on the follow up. Our committee's focus is on the ABAR poll. And so we are hoping to set some metrics around the diversity of our board. We don't know what those metrics are, we know they are higher than what our current percentage is, which led to a discussion around, you know, how to do that. And I brought up in this, the diverse schools community of practice that I participated in. I got to be a small group talking about this, and for probably one woman who in a Baltimore school, charter school, basically ran like a process to like, it was like create a job description, post it, and like we would all like put it on our LinkedIn or share the networks and like run it a little bit smaller, like a new process. So my next step there is to draft a job description to bring to you all for review.
And we do have one as part of it's in the board book.
Yeah.
So we have a starting point, which we can completely throw out and start over. But
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome to. I just wanted to make sure you knew we technically have an official one. That's all.
Nobody wants to talk to that.
As I say, you just like ask ChatGPT to like draft you on. I'll just share, it hasn't come up yet in executive committee, but it's going to, and so I'll just preview. We're in the spring is often the time when we committees like each take on 2 to 4 policies to review kind of once a month. So I like offered the executive for our March meeting, I offered a few kind of governance related documents for the committee to review and mark up and then kind of bring back for reapproval. So academic, take a look, you know, things in the past have been like policies related around students with special needs, English learner policies, there's student wellness policies, a ton. Finance has looked at our fiscal and control policies in the past, things like that. But if the FAC wants to review, like take on a policy, I mean, it's not that, it's basically everyone, the work is like agreeing to like read the policy and mark it up like with Google comment and stuff like that. All of our policies are in Board on Track and in the, and the Google versions are in our Google folder. Yeah. Yeah, if they've been updated last spring, we don't have to review them again. I think like our board, our conflict of interest code at the governance level and our bylaws, I think the county likes us to review them, even if we don't make any changes, like re-vote and affirm them every year. But the other ones, it's the best practice, I think, is every other year at minimum. But it's okay to do one again. Yeah. It can all, you know, even the family handbook, is a, I mean, it's massive, but splitting it up. Yeah. At least we don't make a new copy of it anymore, right? I don't think we do. Yeah, just like same version, just update it. Yeah. Yeah. God, you have so many. Okay, do we need to do the any changes of board officers or members? Awesome. Okay.
So next item, wanted to come back to the quote that Christian shared that connected to the agreements that I just, well, Daniel, can you actually pull up the agreements on your
staff ones?
Yeah. So I mean, so what Christian shared last time, Daniel, please correct me if I'm misrepresenting that these came from the works of the staff who had engaged with this article in this conversation and reflected on what does this mean for our school? What are the agreements that we need to have in full to help shift us away from the tenets of what kind of makes sense with our school system and our culture. And so this is what the staff came up with. So my hope was to think about what of these make sense for us to hold, or like be top of mind for us as a board, like what makes sense for it to just be just like have the same, do we something like that. And so wanted to just have an open conversation about, you know, were there any like takeaways or reactions from folks, and how could these agreements be how or if these agreements could be helpful. So let's just start with like, what were some reactions or were people able to react? No.
I read it.
One thing I meant to do, and I totally forgot, is like, I have an abridged version somewhere that just like breaks down, check a next book and try to find. That doesn't, it doesn't go into the full like depth of like the research and the background and like figures which is really important and gives the high level of like here are the tenants that are called out and here are some of the anecdotes to that, which a lot are like summarized here. So given that only Greg and I were able to look at it, do we want to table this? Do we want to talk? I mean, I think these are like, I don't know. Let me just share what
stuff like
space to do. And you
all right, you're going. Or both. Talk about it and talk about it again.
Yeah, that too.
Great.
Okay. 6:50 p.m. Donald is leaving. Gotta get that in the minutes. I was glad to like revisit this. It was not the first time I'd read it, but it been a minute, and it is a little bit longer of a document, but it's structured in such a way that I think really helps you kind of start to take it in. I was feeling glad to be reading it. I was curious, like how we would discuss it or what might come up tonight. So I'm glad to like just muddle through until maybe we use the time a little bit, see what happens. I guess a couple of things I'll just start with, like, she puts it near the end, but like, please do not weaponize this tool was not something I had remembered, reading about before. Just that, she seems to say in a lot of ways, like, this is an offering, that doesn't make it less true, true for her or for what she thinks is true and how she's observed and the world. But I think that was a helpful area to be like, she admits in the writing, like, she's watched her prior work, like, be weaponized, and that's not actually going to serve anybody and doesn't help any of us grow. I also really liked her kind of informality around, like, she signs it, like, at the end, like, both and my lovelies, both and, you know, like the way she talks to the audience is very, it's just very, very human. It's not trying to be overly academic or ivory tower-ish or stuff like that. And then in terms of just going back to the community agreements that staff have already settled on, you know, the first one strikes me as a very worthy one for the board, because the board's work in particular is done in public, even more public often than what the staff work when they work together. I mean, obviously when the staff are doing their jobs, it's very public. They got all these children right in front of them, right? Who can go home and tell their parents. But like discomfort across school boards across this country is increasing. And it's, and for a lot of horrible reasons, but discomfort alone is not the problem. Like, and that we should have moments of discomfort and disagreement and debate and all that sort of stuff. And that's okay. And it's supposed to be done in public. And that's, you know, using closed session because things are getting uncomfortable is not appropriate and not legal. Yeah. So I'll stop there, but that's just some stuff that came up.
Yeah, I similarly love her writing style, and I think it in itself is a reflection of trying to push against that more like academic, that's not more like dissociated from the reader type of like writing, and that, like, you know, they talk about like what is it, power of the, not power, praise for the written word, or
is one of the tenets of white supremacy culture.
I like
worship of the written word.
Worship of the written, thank you. And I think similarly, Greg, around that, like, welcome discomfort thing, I think that and, like, mistakes are for learning and be curious. I think a lot of times there's a reason that we have to follow certain rules and, you know, legal, not rules, laws. And I think that's really important for, you know, a lot of reasons and ways that people are actually excluded from conversations. And so I think that matters. And I want us to continue to move to a place where it doesn't prevent us from being able to have conflicts in the room. And, you know, we don't have to contrive them, and there's like generally a lot of agreement within this group. But I even think too, like, is that partially also because there's like a lot of community within this group, right? Like, we're all parents, and you know, actually I would hope that as we build out the diversity of the board, or as we attempt to do that, we actually get some more dissenting voices and to help provide that. But I think that this type of stuff will be especially welcoming this number and being curious, and it's going to be a big, very tricky.
One more real quick, just the expect and accept non-closure. I definitely feel like schools, I always use the analogy of, like, it's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. Like, once you finish painting the Golden Gate Bridge, it's been so long, you have to start painting it again, because that's just, you're just constantly painting it. And it's same with schools. Like, the school year ends and you've already been planning for the next school year, because the kids come back, because there's younger children, it's just cyclical, and it goes with the seasons and the rhythms of the planet and the solar system and all that sort of stuff. It all feels really connected. And it's similarly with the board, like we have our own rhythms. We always have to review the policies every year, and we have to adopt the budget, and every month we're supposed to look at the financials and all the things. And the work's not done, and it doesn't need to be closed. Like we just talked about it tonight. We approved the calendar, and we can accept that, you know, if that doesn't have to be completely be done, it can be reopened. We can approve the family handbook and it can stay commentable and people can always just make more comments, that we're just always trying to continue to adapt to the kids and families and teachers who are in front of us, you know, at that moment in time. So.
I am waiting from the board meeting, but there have been times where it feels like it's a place where things need to be solved in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's my certain moment. I don't think that's what this space is even supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if things are brought up, right? We should be learning from silence, you know? And literally not expecting it to be like, this is where things get solved on the spot right away, and that being an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You really can.
But I think it has fallen into that a little bit.
I think a lot of the times people who have brought things to the board expect it to be resolved. And so that's much an educational thing, but
And to speak to the article, I think before reading the article, I had seen like abridged versions or lists and things. And I feel like the article gives so much clarity and understanding of nuances and like the complexity of each of those things that's really important to engage with in having the discussion.
Mm-hmm. I think we should all read it again in March and read it again in March. There you go. It's great cruise material.
You'll make so many friends. Pass it around. Boom. And we'll see.
Where are we?
We are on other business.
I don't have a ton. I guess at the state level. Daniel, I wanted to let everybody know and you that I saw a bill again was pending that would require dyslexia screening. I think it was in grades 3 to 6. I think it started in third. Maybe it started in second. I don't think it started in TK or one. Anyways, I could be wrong. I think I saw it in EdSource. So if you wanted to Google it, and it's just a bill, but and it may be that stuff we already do does, you know, would qualify to meet the standard, but just tracking that. That was the main thing I saw at the state level, if I'm remembering correctly. And then at the OUSD level, the main two pieces of news. The main one I would say is that Nick Resnick resigned. He was the D4 school board member since January. There's plenty. You can read all about it in Oaklandside and on his campaign website and all sorts of stuff if you want more information, but he has resigned. So the OUSD board has 6 members. And I don't know exactly what happens next. I think it's still possible that a judge in a couple of weeks in March could declare Director Hutchinson the winner of the D4 seat, in which case he could be sworn into the D4 seat and the board would then they'd have to choose to hold a special election for the D5, which would then be the D5 empty seat, or appoint someone to the D5 seat, or if I don't know if they would just appoint somebody else to the D4 seat. I just have no idea. Or they'll appoint Mike, Director Hutchinson, to the D4 seat. I don't know. So that's all just happening like this week. And then the other thing is that they are, you know, just like us, they're looking at their budgets and starting to look at next year. And they, you know, they had a board meeting last night and their staff said, you know, unlike in years past, they would not describe their fiscal situation as crisis. They're not saying they're in crisis, which is fabulous, but they will have to make adjustments and they're probably make adjustments in the next couple of months for to give staff enough time to implement changes for next year. As so they're not necessarily going to adopt their budget for next year, but they're going to, they sometimes in the past have adopted resolutions to kind of direct staff to start preparing to make reductions in certain areas so that when they go to adopt the budget, it can actually be done in time. So that's going on. Oh, and then the teachers have kind of made their, the OUSD teachers have kind of made their main components of their bargaining proposal. They've sunshined those. I'm not sure if OUSD has, but I'm sure they have to soon. To declare like what's the starting point of the negotiations. But and the teachers are looking for a 23% raise, which they say would bring us then up to the median for the area for teachers. It doesn't talk about the other benefits. It's just specific to salary. That's what I have on those updates.
When's
at the June 24, at the end of our charter. Yeah. Is there any discussion about the minutes from January 26th? Is there a motion to approve the minutes from January 26th? Is there a second? All right. And how do you vote? This is Greg. I vote yes. Kara and Sarah. You know, we actually don't have to. You can just say like all in favor.
Oh, that's right.
I Board on Track makes it so easy to just count everyone's individual votes. So I just do it.
After, so used to.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Daniel, do you want to share on the next item? Okay. I can present it. So Krishna is recommending that we approve this declaration of need. This is an annual document that, schools are asked to turn in. I think it's for the state, but it goes through the county offices of ed. So Krishna has, we did this last year. Krishna has completed it for this year and she put it up here. Which I think is exact same as that we might need, five. Well, yeah, for the multiple subject. And so I will make a motion to approve our declaration of need. Okay, just getting it in here. Anne, how do you vote? This is Greg. I vote yes. Kara?
Yes.
And Sarah?
Yes.
Okay. My bad. See, I can't get out of the habit. Actually, and again, I'll just declare there's no one on Zoom. There's no one who's attending. So there's no public comment on it. It's similar with all the others. What's next? Is it me or is it you? You.
The general consent report, which includes the school safety plan, which we had a public hearing on last month.
Yep.
The safe return to in-person instruction and the contract with the Montessori and the action. Are there any? There's no comments. So, no comments.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent report.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Motion passed unanimously. There you go.
One item to discuss.
Oh, right. Yep.
Anything else? Going to close up.
Let me.
No one's here. Is there any comments that anyone has about the items on the closed session agenda, which include the public employee performance evaluation,
All right, so we'll pause. It's 7:07. We will pause the recording and we'll be in closed session. Thanks, Daniel.
Is 7:15. We are coming out of closed session, and there were no actions or votes taken during that time. So with that, we will adjourn at 7:15.
Good night.